What is up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to episode 154 of the Massive Breakdown Podcast. We have a fantastic episode for you tonight, going on week two of the coronavirus quarantine. So thankfully, we've both had a more time than usual, I would say, to play Destiny, although not as much time as I would really like or hope. It turns out that working from home means I actually have to work, which is something unfortunate that I did not expect. So we're going to be talking to you tonight. We're going to be doing a live breakdown of the season pass weapons. We are going to be talking about week two of trials, what went on there. We'll briefly go over Tommy's matchbook, and then we've got some housekeeping. We had some questions that were asked of us on Twitter, or at least one question. I know we had a question on Twitter that I really thought was a good thought-provoking one that I'd like to answer. And I thought we had a question in Discord, but now we can't seem to find it. So if we cannot find that by the end of the episode, we will put out a request to whoever it was that asked us a question on Discord that they want us to answer in the podcast. Please ask it again and tag us, because we were horrible people and we lost it. But before we get to all that, let's get the introductions out of the way. As always, I'm your host, Mercules, joined tonight by Kit Kutcha. And how are you doing this evening, Kit?
Well, Mercules, I can't complain too much. I have been just grinding a absolute ridiculous amount of Destiny for me. I've hit the soft cap. I probably have finished the moon bunker, and I probably just need to go and finish buying the last few upgrades. So I'm well ahead of schedule, and I expect to be able to spend the rest of this season just doing whatever feels good, finishing off quests that I've wanted to get done for a while, that kind of thing. And it looks like, as horrible as the situation is, at the very least, I have something to do while I can't go out. And so I guess there's that going for me, which is nice. How about you, man?
Yeah, it is really fortunate that we have hobbies that can be done inside and while socially isolated, because my girlfriend, who's a very social person, is being driven slowly insane by the fact that she has to stay inside all the time and cannot do the things she normally likes to. But I love video games and watching TV and reading, so it works out really, really well for me.
Yeah. I've been, in addition to playing a ton of Destiny, I've been watching a bunch of shows, and I've been doing some reading, which I hardly ever have time for anymore, but somehow I found time for that too. So I guess it's a time to indulge those hobbies that take us away from people.
Yeah, those oft forgotten hobbies.
Yes.
They kind of fall by the wayside in a hectic life when you're busy and out of the house. But we'll be talking about that in the In Real Life podcast, which we're going to record after the end of this episode. So if you guys would like to, you're more than welcome to stay tuned for that one as well, because we'll be recording it right after the end of this. Although, it won't really matter to you guys, because I put them out as separate tracks. So it could be before, it could be after, it could be anything. But housekeeping, we have stuff we have to get out of the way. We do have two new podcast reviews. I'm going to read those out now. On Friday, last Friday, we got a 5-star review from RobCT30. It says, "Thank you. I'm sad it took me so long to hear of this, but thanks to the PD podcast, I found you. Keep up the awesome work, dudes. I run a full 100-person clan that's active, so your tips and breakdowns help tremendously to keeping the clan alive. Cheers, dudes." Thank you very much, Rob. We really appreciate that. I'm glad that you were able to find us from the Firing Range podcast. That is the podcast that I do bi-weekly for the Destiny Community Podcast channel over there. That's with Fallout, Cammy Cakes, Drewski, and Cool Guy. It is a it is similar to this podcast. It's like sandbox focused, but it is much more formal, much more structured environment, a little bit more of that small family feel that we've got over here. And then the second review is from Go LSU, but Go is spelled the New Orleans way, 305. It was on Tuesday. It says, "Outstanding podcast, 5 stars. Really enjoy this insightful and very informative show. Your passion and dedication for Destiny shines through, and love the information and stats, especially gun reviews and possible perk rolls. Keep up the good work." Thank you very much, Go LSU. You'll be very happy to hear that this is a podcast episode where we're going to be doing gun reviews and possible perk rolls. So thank you very much. Remember, guys, if you would like to get a podcast review into us on Apple Podcasts, we will read it out and give you a personal thank you on air. And you are always welcome to submit those if you are from out of the country, because Apple Podcasts only shows us reviews from the United States region. Please send it to us on Discord or Reddit or Twitter, somewhere. Just shoot us a screenshot and we will read it out just the same. Thank you very much.
All right. Well, thanks for those reviews. Really appreciate that. Speaking of thanks, let's go ahead and say thank you to some of our patrons. So a big thank you to our ongoing sponsors in SoCal. Really appreciate the massive level of support you've shown to us. I also want to give a shout out to a brand new patron. Just started supporting us on the Patreon, and that is Fishy Hank. Also, actually saw him pop up in Discord before I even saw the update from Patreon. So thanks for jumping into the community like that. Really appreciate it. On top of the support, joining the community, being a positive influence, really does a lot for us as well. So we appreciate that multi-level support that you've shown very much. And thank you, as always, to all of our ongoing patrons. You guys and gals, you do so much for us, and we really appreciate, especially, in these troubled times, we really appreciate the level of trust. And I feel like I've used the word support like 17 times, but I'm going to say support that you've shown us, because that's what it is. I mean, it is what it is. So thank you.
And we still do have those whiskey glasses, but we are following the instructions that we have been given, and we are socially isolating. And so those whiskey glasses will have to wait to be sent out until after the coronavirus pandemic has at least died down enough to where it is smarter to leave our home and go somewhere like the post office to send something.
So. Yes, to my wife's great and undying joy, there is a stack of boxes packed with glasses sitting in the front room of our house. Just hanging out. And we're doing our best to contain the spread. So, and it unfortunately is spreading, pretty rapidly here in Texas these days. I live in a small suburban town. A small suburban city, I should say. And it's just reached us. I think we had our first confirmed case a couple of days ago, which means that there's probably like 30 people that have it. At least by now, but don't know it yet. So fortunately, we were not, it was actually at a store that we go to, but we were not at that store that day. So,
you should be safe.
Minimal levels of panic in the household at present. It's pretty crazy out there, folks. Stay safe. Let's talk some Destiny though.
Yeah, we actually got a really good question. So every once in a while, we like to do some community questions. Every once in a while, someone asked us something that is super, super thought-provoking. And sometimes we like to just read it out on the podcast instead of just answering it on Twitter or Discord or wherever it comes to us. We've done this quite a number of times, so don't ever hesitate to shoot us your questions. This question came to us on Twitter, and it was actually the question, what guns or what archetypes of guns do you instant shard when you get them? Like, what guns are so bad in the current state of the game that they're not even worth checking out the rules on them, and you just dismantle them regardless? It was actually phrased in such a way that they said that no buff would ever make them good, but as we saw from many different weapons, but there is no such thing as no buff. As we see from Hardlight is probably the best example. There is always a buff that can make a gun good. So it is always possible to make a gun good with any buff. Weapons that I auto shard right now, basically all SMGs.
It's fair.
Pretty much any SMG I get. Now, so I shouldn't say this. I never auto shard anything. I keep one of every archetype as a good roll in the vault in case there is a buff or in case there is a change in the sandbox, or in case I want to test damage numbers, I can go grab that weapon, right? So I always have one of every archetype that I can at least go grab in a good roll. So I always look at the roll of every gun to see if it is good enough to replace whatever's in my vault, right? Like an Outlaw kill clip or something like that. But at the current point in time, because I play on console and I play with controller, pretty much any SMG is an auto shard for me. I don't even bother to touch SMGs. Auto rifles do literally everything better than them, and they kill just as fast or faster and with less headshots required. So it's like, there's not even really a reason to. Do you have a particular style of weapon that whenever you get it, you just instant dismantle?
Let's just go down the list, right? So right now, aggressive hand cannons are just like... like, unless it's like the first trials weekend or something and you're at 10-15 and everyone else is at 990, They're just crap. They're worthless. They're way too slow. You know, you can troll with them. There are certain circumstances where you can do some pretty trolly things, like with Sturm. But I'm not talking about Sturm because Sturm doesn't drop all the time. You know, I'm talking about Probina D that I get from the gunsmith, like, 3 times a week. Lately, Crimal's Dagger. I'm like, I looked at it, I was curious what it can roll, and I'm like, but I'm not going to play with it, so why am I looking?
I was actually thinking about saying 110s, but then I was like, people are going to hate me if I say that, because there's like a portion of the population who swears by 110 hand cannons. I know like Cammy, for example, like absolutely freaking loves 110 hand cannons. So
you can do some cheesy stuff with the damage, with different damage boosts and stuff, but just on a strict like gun to gun, what's good and what's terrible, like those guns are objectively worse than other guns in every way. Except for, you know, range against other hand cannons.
It's weird to me that they still have their rate of fire nerf from back in early D2 when they got brought down from 120 to in D1 to 110 in D2, because I guess that was the slowest they could make them and still fit into that sandbox TTK that they had back then, and they've just never been changed.
Yeah.
Like, at the very least, they should kill on a crit in 2 bodies and kill in 1 second, right? Like, It's amazing to me. I was actually thinking about saying those. Other stuff, I don't really touch linear fusion rifles because I got a firing line with, or a line in the sand with firing line, and that's really all that I needed. So no Crooked Fang is ever going to come close to that as far as I'm concerned. Plus they're heavy weapons.
I actually have 2 linear fusion rifles that I keep. I keep my firing line in the sand, and then I do have a Crooked Fang that is... Boy, I'm just drawing like all kinds of mental blanks tonight. It's opening shot and plan C.
Backup plan.
There we go. I always think plan C because that's really what the perk is. Backup plan, for some reason, I'm too old. That's what it is. I can't change my ways.
I literally just got that roll the other night, and I actually hesitated before I deleted it.
It's
I was like,
so
oh,
stupid.
That's a pretty good roll. And then I just deleted it. So I was like, eh, you know. The thing is for me, like, until
my
they
PvP
make...
versus my PvE roll, basically.
Yeah. Until they make linear fusion rifles special weapons, they're not really worth running in the heavy slot. I mean, look, Arbalest.
They
Arbalest
aren't.
Is linear fusion rifle, and it's a special weapon. That's what all linear fusion rifles should be, except for sleepers. So.
Yeah, they aren't good. And I just use it, like, when I'm trying to... Yeah, like if I have a bounty that requires it, basically, and I want to play PvP, and I'm like, well, maybe I'll get a kill. Who knows?
Yeah. A kind of surprising thought that I had was snipers. I delete, like, every sniper that I get.
Oh,
because
yeah.
Because Beloved, Revoker, and Twilight Oath are so head and shoulders better than every other sniper that's out there, pretty much, mostly due to the low zoom, that I don't even really look at any other snipers. Right now, granted, I'm a mostly PvE or PvP player, so I'm not really looking for a PvE sniper, right? Which, you know, Trophy Hunter from last season was a really good PvE sniper, but like I don't even look if I get like a shit. What's the Crucible sniper that drops all the time? It doesn't even matter. Like I just instant delete them. Right,
yeah.
Like, it's not even worth me looking at.
Fate Cries Foul, probably.
Yes, it is Fate Cries Foul.
Yeah, I get so many of those. I don't even mess with them. Once I got Revoker, I was basically done with other snipers in PvP. I will never delete my opening shot Bite of the Fox because that's how
Same.
I got Revoker.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I can't get rid of all those kills. Like,
yeah, I have that one too, and it's fully masterworked. So I will keep my opening
so
shot.
Good.
Opening shot Bite of the Fox. But the problem is it's in the same slot as Revoker. It's the same archetype as Revoker, and Revoker is just like straight up better than it. So it's yeah, it's hard.
I'm not gonna play with it again until Revoker
but I'm just
gets
gonna
retired.
Hold on to it. I finally deleted one of my Aran tools that had several thousand kills on it that was fully masterworked, but it was a year 1 version, and I literally hadn't used it in a year. I had been holding on to it for, you know, emotional reasons, but I really needed some masterwork cores the other day, so I deleted it. And it, like, part of my soul hurt, and I actually was forgotten I deleted it. I was looking for it the other day, and then I was like, oh, wait, I used that for parts. Damn it.
Yeah. The other ones I was going to throw out were basically every rocket launcher I get, I don't even check the perks anymore because I have... tracking cluster bombs, Roar of the Bear, and I have I forget what it is, but I have a good roll on a Zenobia D. It's and I'm just
cluster
like,
bomb, Zenobia D.
I think I have cluster bombs, Zenobia D, and I forget what else on it.
I was literally just looking at my Zenobia D and admiring the good roll like earlier. So I'm actually trying to get Bright Dust. This is totally off topic, but I'm grinding hard for Bright Dust this week because there were a lot of ornaments in the store. And I burned my entire Bright Dust reserves buying four of them, and there's still one more left, and I don't have it, and I need 2,000 Bright Dust, so I'm like actually grinding Bright Dust. So I'm playing on my Titan, I'm playing on my Warlock. I was on my Titan today, and I was looking at my Zenobia D. I was like, oh, that's a nice Zenobia D. It is Rangefinder Cluster Bombs, is what it is.
Nice.
Volatile Launch, Black Powder, Rangefinder Cluster Bombs. So actually a really good blast radius, 75 blast radius, 57 velocity. So that's a good Zenobia D. And I think that's the one that I've carried with me pretty much through the entirety of Destiny. I think that was like my best Zenobia D, and I've never gotten anything. Plus, I have a Sleepless with Cluster Bombs and Snapshot. And then that mixed together with Truth, I don't really feel like I need anything else.
Somehow, I never got Sleepless. I don't think it's even in my collections. I don't think it ever dropped for me. Yeah, I've seen so many people using them, but they just didn't want to drop for me, and I didn't feel like grinding to try to get it, I guess. But
it's literally Sins of the Past from the original Leviathan Raids. Right. Same archetype, almost same exact stats. To me, it's my favorite non-exotic rocket launcher in the game.
But then grenade launchers as well, like the heavy grenade launchers. I don't know. I keep one of each color in case I like need it for some reason
to match a different set of armor that you have.
No, just like I guess one of each burn, I should say.
Oh, I thought you were talking about like a paint scheme. Like I have an orange one and a red one. Don't want to change the shaders.
I should actually. You know what? Yeah. I need to go change the paint schemes to match the elements. That will help. But no, I don't know. I don't really care for them that much.
So I'm looking at my, this is terrible. I'm looking at my dim right now. I have 1, 2, 3, 4. That was my phone falling on the ground, by the way. I have 5 play of the games. I don't know why I have so many of those. I guess I just grab one and forget that I have a couple in the vault. And so I have one on each character and 2 in the vault. So I don't need that many play of the games is what I'm thinking.
No, you do not.
Oh, some of them are actually pretty good rolls, though. This one's Proximity Grenades, Rangefinder, Rampage. Something I noticed with Proximity Grenades, which freaking sucks, is that if you don't have another Blast Radius increasing perk, Proximity Grenades will actually take the Blast Radius down so far that it can detonate the Proximity Blast and not kill the person.
Yeah,
because the Blast Radius is enough. Super freaking annoying. Tremendously, tremendously annoying.
They really, really hit Prox Det hard once they saw how much it was being abused back in the old days.
Well, they took away grenades and horseshoes from rocket launchers, and then they gave proximity debt to grenade launchers.
Yeah.
And the exact same thing happened where it was the only perk used. But
yeah. Anyway,
I still don't have Mountaintop, but that's probably why I have all those.
I don't either. So
I don't want to, honestly. Like at this point, I'm so far beyond wanting to play with grenade launchers in this thing. But
I occasionally play with one, but usually not for long. Anyway, that's that. That's some stuff that we auto-shard.
Probably a lot of stuff that we auto-shard. So, briefly moving into the main Destiny topics, I want to talk about trials from last week, because some stuff happened in the community, which I'm pretty sure that we said it would, although we didn't know it would be happening this quickly. But last week, it was trials on Anomaly. Anomaly is a super sweaty map from D1 that basically promotes shotgun rushing over everything. It is like the most prevalent strategy, so well-organized teams just absolutely blitz the shit out of people and dominate
them. It's a great
them.
Map.
Yeah. And then what happened is, in combination with that, they had a shotgun, which is a very, very good precision shotgun, which can roll with quick draw opening shot, which is like the god-tier shotgun roll, and it was available from 3 wins, right? Well, the problem is that once you get 3 wins, that weapon goes into the loot pool of stuff that you get from tokens from Saint 14. And if you never go past 3 wins, that's the only weapon in the loot pool, right? So what do people do who want to farm a God Roll shotgun? They get 3 wins, they reset their card, they get 3 wins, they reset their card, and they do that over and over and over and over and over again. And then the very last card of the week, they try to go flawless, right? So what ended up happening was that there were a bunch of super stacked, sweaty teams that were just staying in the same 3-win bracket and destroying everyone for basically the entire weekend, right? And as we said way back when we talked about card-based matchmaking, this happening was super obvious. Now, I didn't think it was going to happen because of a weapon. That's an oversight on Theron as well. I knew it was going to happen because it happened in D1. As soon as we got card-based matchmaking, super sweaty teams would farm the first three matches so that they could, you know, jump their ELO up and boost their stats and boost their win percentages. This was obvious that this was going to happen, right? Like, you were literally telling players you don't need to D-rank. All you do is just click a button and it will reset your card, and then you can play bad players the entire, you know, time. So we knew this was going to happen, and Trials population dropped off relatively sharply. And there is a post on Reddit which detailed the amount of players who got to each win percentage, and it was like an order of magnitude lower this week than it was from the first week. And the population is sure enough going into, we'll see how week three goes. But it would not surprise me if the population falls into sharp decline and we end up with Destiny 1 year 3 trial situation all over again, where it is an awful experience for anyone who's not on a stack team.
I'm regretting that I wasn't able to pull a team together the first two weekends, because it sounds like those were probably the only two weekends that I would have had a chance to enjoy it at all. So that's a disappointment. I don't want to come off as complaining. I think trials should be hard, but I also think that it should be something that feels achievable, because we don't, just like with raids, right? You want it to be difficult and challenging and hard in order to reward those players to enjoy those kinds of experiences, but you also want it to be something that gets played by more than 1% of the population. Because, you know, you're putting a lot of man hours into developing this, into supporting it, you're making a big deal out of it, it's supposedly a draw for the game. But if all it does is create negative experiences, you know, that's bad for the game. That means it's something that's not worth your time to continue supporting or creating. And negative PvP experiences, like really negative PvP experiences, can be a huge factor in people just quitting playing altogether. Like, it's bad news. And I really hope that Bungie does something to address the problems and honestly, I think matchmaking is a big part of the problem. They do need to have rewards that are available for players who don't go flawless to encourage people to play. But people need to be able to get those rewards without having a really shitty time doing it. You know, I'm fine with playing and maybe having a few good matches and then having some really tough matches and getting beat by better teams. And maybe the last match is really, really rough, you know, whatever. You know, and then maybe I get to 4 wins, 5 wins, 3 wins, who knows? It doesn't matter. The point is, all of those matches shouldn't be an absolute shit show for me. I shouldn't go in and just be like, I don't belong here. And I say that as somebody who is, you know, probably somewhere in the middle of the spectrum of PvP skill. You know, my impression from the way people are talking about this is that anyone who is below my skill level, like, doesn't even want to think about playing trials at this point. Because if people who are actually interested in PvP think it's, you know, think it's a bad time, then why would they, who maybe aren't all that invested in PvP, want to dive in? And that, you know, again, it's just unhealthy for the game, because that's a big part of this season. So I'm disappointed that they've stuck with this card-based matchmaking scheme.
Same. And I posted about it on Twitter. I, you know, went off on it and was like, look, card-based matchmaking sucks. It sucked in D1 and it sucks here now too. And the only people who like card-based matchmaking are the ultra, ultra, ultra sweaty people who are okay with it being a tournament setting. And that's not the majority of the population. And Trials, more than probably any other game mode, relies on the majority of the population being able to play.
Yeah.
And they can't. And yeah, that's all we'll say. This is like the third episode now that we've had to make mention of it. But I just thought it was really funny because it's only week two of Trials. And already it's causing severe issues with the playlist. And it's literally causing people to quit. Right, so I thought we need to bring that up. We need to talk about it. Hopefully they will make a change sooner rather than later, go to connection-based matchmaking, and just call it a day. That's really all they need to do.
In fairness, you know, they could do some more things to incentivize people to play for flawless every time, you know, with greater token rewards at higher cards or whatever. But I think what's going to happen, even if they did something like that, is if somebody wants the gun that's at the 3-win tier, they're going to farm the 3-win tier. Like,
well, people are going to farm the 3-win tier no matter what, because that's how you statistically play the easiest games, right?
Yeah.
So no matter what they do, there's going to be a subsection of the population who farms the 3-win tier.
Yeah.
Just full stop. So the only way you can do away with that is by making connection-based matchmaking.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's, you know, what you do. So anyways, that's probably enough about that. we do need to talk about the 3 season pass weapons before we get really into this, because this is supposed to be a shorter episode, and I can tell that we're already going to end up running on... we're going to end up being at like an hour, just because that's the way we do things here. First off, want to talk about the exotic Tommy's Matchbook. Now, I gave this a shake, and rereading some of the perks and kind of looking at statistically what it does, and also having had Drewski point something out to me before the last Firing Line podcast, I don't think I gave this gun a fair shot. And I think they may have done something to it similar to what they did with the Last Word. So the Last Word right now is extraordinarily accurate from the hip. There is no reason to ADS at all, especially on controller. It is magnetic from the hip. Surprisingly so. Like, legitimately surprisingly so. It feels better than any gun, I think, in Destiny's history, firing it from the hip. I'm actually really impressed with
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
It's
seconded.
It's crazy.
Anyone who... Yeah. If you saw me in Discord this week, last couple days, I've been talking about how much I am back in love with The Last Word. It's ridiculous.
So I looked at Tommy's Matchbook, and the main perk, Ignition Trigger, sustained fire with this weapon overheats it, increasing damage to burn the user. So it's kind of like Sweet Business, but instead of the rate of fire spinning up, the damage spins up, but like Touch of Malice, it does a little bit of damage to you. I used it. Personally, I'm not a huge fan of 720s. I think 600 RPM autos do everything that 720s do, but at longer range, and they're better with better stability, right? So I didn't really like Tommy's Matchbook. I felt that the ignition damage wasn't a ton, wasn't super noticeable, and I felt that me being hurt was, although minor, was more of a hindrance than it was, you know, the help of the extra damage, right? So I didn't really give it a fair shake. But then Heat Sink, which is the legendary perk, is overheat damage is reduced while not aiming down sights. I didn't really test firing it from the hip because so many guns talk about being hip fire accurate and then they're just absolute shit at it. The Last Word is the only gun that we have that's actually legitimately really hip fire accurate, right? Trusky pointed out to me that the reticle, so you guys know what dynamic sway reduction does, where it basically clamps down bloom and it minimizes it. It looks like dynamic sway reduction is accurate all the time on Tommy's Matchbook. The reticle never blooms out. It stays locked super, super tight all the time, right? So I'm wondering if this gun has that weird increased hipfire accuracy that the Last Word has too. And if it does, then I think that I need to give this gun another shake, because something that it does have is 49 range and 81 aim assist, which is a crazy amount of aim assist. And really, really high range for a 720 RPM auto rifle. So although I didn't personally like it the first couple of times I played with it, I'm going to try to give it another shot again, see how the hipfire functionality feels, and see if maybe that's the way they were intending for the gun to be used. Because I personally love hipfiring guns, and it's just so hard to do in Destiny because most of them feel like garbage. So if this one has something similar to the Last Word where it's really, really accurate hipfire, or it's really, really sticky hipfire, then I think maybe that's kind of its niche. I've also heard that it's pretty decent in PvE, but you know, people said that about Touch of Malice. I use Touch of Malice in PvP. I would get down to the last bullet and freaking four tap people at that fast rate of fire and absolutely loved it. So I love Touch of Malice in PvP. So I would really love for this gun to be good in PvP too, if you could abuse it.
Yeah, I'll say that I probably haven't given it a fair shake either. I think I probably do need to take it back and do some more work on the hip firing. I wasn't super thrilled with how it felt initially, but I wasn't really hip firing it like you. With ARs, I'm really used to aiming down sights, and I'm just kind of trained that way, and so it was hard for me to remember not to do that. And at the same time that I was playing with it, I was also playing with other auto rifles like Monte Carlo, like Hard Light, and those guns just felt better. And so I kind of put Tommy's matchbook aside, and I haven't really gone back to it. I've been focused on bounties and quests and other things, and yeah, I think I could probably stand to give it another look. One other thing to look at too is it does have a catalyst, which I'm reading gives it a new perk called Heat of the Moment, where while ignition trigger is active, your health recovers much faster. So, depending on exactly how that works out, that could be extremely useful for PvP right there. You know, if you're able to win one gunfight, you recover really quickly, while ignition trigger is still active, and you can go right into the next. So, kind of makes putting points into recovery sort of pointless if it works well enough. So, something to look out for. As usual though, catalysts are always a grind to unlock, so we'll see exactly how much of a grind it's going to be.
Interesting. Yeah, good call. Next up on the season pass rewards, we have the Seventh Seraph VY7, which is the submachine gun. It is a precision archetype submachine gun, does arc damage. Precision means it is 600 rounds per minute. In terms of damage dealt, it does 23 damage to the head, 16 to the body for a time to kill of 0.8 seconds. What that means is it is the exact same rate of fire as Hard Light, but with less range and less damage, right? So, and less stability. So,
Yeah.
and less mag size. So, here's the problem with precision submachine guns, and this is why I dismantle all submachine guns. They suck compared to an auto rifle, which does literally everything better. Literally everything better. There is no reason to use a precision submachine gun, except for the fact that it has a slightly faster body shot time to kill. But I'm telling you, it is not worth it. As much as I wish that I could say I would love to use this submachine gun, I don't recommend it at all. It does have some great perk rolls. In the first trait slot, Firmly Planted is going to be the best
Oh,
bet
yeah.
because the other options are Ambitious Assassin, 4x the Charm, and Pulse Monitor, which are all reload-based perks. But in the last slot, you have Feeding Frenzy, which is great. You have Vorpal Weapon, which is pretty good. You have Dragonfly, which is probably not great on a submachine gun, but it's kind of nice that it's arc. And then you have Elemental Capacitor. So here's the thing. 67% of the time, I think Elemental Capacitor is damn near useless.
Yeah.
But I got a summoner with Elemental Capacitor, and I'm using a Void subclass because I'm using a Night Stalker right now. Oh my god, there is literally no recoil at all. It is perfectly stable. The summoner is already really stable on its own, but with Elemental Capacitor and a Void subclass, and I noticed because I changed off and went to a Solar subclass, with a Void subclass, it is tremendously stable. So I'm now going to be looking for this, but the problem is that it's like having perfect balance. It's only active when your subclass is void. So if you're not using a void subclass, it kind of sucks. But I gotta admit that using a void subclass, I found it to be tremendously useful.
Yeah, it's an ongoing frustration for me with that perk. Like, I do play Void quite a bit, especially in PvE, but I tend lately especially I've been playing a lot more Arc and Solar in PvP, and I'm like, well, I know that this perk does a lot for stability. I've seen a lot of people say that it does, and I believe them. But I want a gun that I can just use. Like, it's just frustrating.
Yeah, it's kind of annoying to have to spec your subclass to match the gun,
Yeah.
as opposed to the other way around. And like, look, the arc increases handling. Who gives a shit? It's a submachine gun. If that were on a sniper rifle, then yeah, that'd be nice. And solar increases reload speed. It does increase reload speed, you know, a fair amount. I'll give it that. You know, it's not outlaw levels, but it's a nice fast reload speed. So,
Yeah.
to me, it doesn't compare to the stability boost.
Right, and that was the other frustration that I have is that I feel like the boosts are not weighted for stats that are evenly. Like I feel like stability should not have been in there because it's such a popular stat and it's so helpful. Like it should have been like inventory or something. That would have been on par, I think, with handling and reload speed.
Well, and the problem is too, like, you're basically screwing yourself because some of the time this is going to be super useful and the rest of the time it's just useless,
Yeah.
right? So I look at it like if you gave me a sniper rifle with elemental capacitor, reload speed doesn't fucking matter unless I'm going for a PvE, you know, DPS thing. Stability is doesn't matter on a sniper, but ARC increases handling. So it's like, okay, well, if I'm playing PvP, now I have to use an ARC subclass to get the bonus. Otherwise, it's useless because reload speed and stability don't help me at all, right?
Yeah.
And then similarly with PvE, it's like, well, now I have to use a solar subclass. So I understand what they're trying to do. They're trying to make you think about your subclass, but it kind of sucks. Like, there, I feel like there should be some other way to trigger it as opposed to it being your subclass. Because it's like, I don't want to use this subclass for what I'm doing, but I have to, else there's a perk that's on my gun that literally is useless to me.
Yeah.
Right. And, you know, now granted, if this were on my Bygones, this would have been great. Because I ran a solar subclass, I wouldn't have had to have gotten freaking Outlaw kill clip. I could have just gotten kill clip and then used this and, you know, increase my reload speed by default, and it would have been nice.
Yeah, it's one of those perks. It's I feel polarized about it. Anyway,
it's a good idea. It's just the execution's a little wonky, but you know, if you spec into it, it's interesting. I've just never felt the need to base my subclass on a perk on one weapon.
Yeah,
right. Like that seems like a very small choice, you know. But it is what it is.
Yep, absolutely.
Other than that, you know, I would max stability. So steady rounds, polygonal rifling, something like that. The few points of range aren't really going to help you a ton. Range won't matter if you can't hit anything. And I think the precisions are already pretty decent. Range-wise, four SMGs, bad comparatively in the sandbox. So I would go all in on stability. If you're on mouse and keyboard, probably don't need the stability. I would go all in on range. Because at that point, maybe an extra meter, 2 meters of damage fall off will actually help you because you can already hit your target. So that's the 7th Seraph VY-7. Whew. Next up is the 7th Seraph CQC-12. It is a shotgun. It is a lightweight shotgun. Think Parcel of Stardust, but not kinetic. It does solar damage. Obviously, it takes special weapon ammo. Lightweights are probably the forgotten shotguns of the current sandbox. Right now, high impacts look like they have the most one-hit kill range at about 8 meters. Precisions are right under that, but Astral Horizon is very, very popular because it comes with a great roll, and they're very, very close to high impacts. And then rapid fires are still popular because the ability to get two shots off very, very quickly. Lightweights don't have the furthest range, nor do they have the furthest rate of fire, so they're kind of stuck in that middle zone of like they don't do anything tremendously great.
Yeah.
So most people don't really like using them. You know, which is a shame because it has trench barrel, it has vorpal weapon, right? So it's a great boss DPS weapon. It has quick draw, which is a tier one perk on auto rifles, or sorry, on shotguns for PvP. It has auto loading holster, which is a tier one perk for shotguns on in PvE, and then it even has slide shot, which temporarily boosts range and stability when you slide, which is another tier one perk for shotguns in PvP. So it's like, you know, it's all there. It's all there for a pretty decent shotgun. You could go with full choke, snapshot, slide shot, and you've got a, you know, and then like assault mag or something, and you got a pretty darn good PvP shotgun, but the archetype is just kind of weak. And so, you know, it ends up falling by the wayside.
Yeah, it is unfortunate because, like you said, everything you want in the perk pool is there, and very, very little that you don't, aside from the ones that you get from the season pass, which is Shield Disorient and Lead from Gold, which I guess you could do something with in PvE if you just want to use shotgun continuously, and you know you'll get some extra ammo and you can blow up match shields, so there's that for you. But boy, not a role that I kept. I'll say that.
No, that's a shame. I mean, you know, if I got one, so like I keep a Parcel Stardust that has a good role, and if I got one with slide shot, you know, snapshot or slide shot vorpal weapon, I mean, maybe there's a benefit here to where I think, God, I'm trying to think about this. So high impact shotguns do 21.5 damage per shell, per pellet, if I'm not mistaken. 21.5. They fire 12 pellets. So how much damage is that? Is that like 250 something damage?
Something like that.
Times 12. 258 damage. Then that means that with how much damage reduction do supers get? They get 60% damage reduction?
Around there generally, yeah.
So you can't kill a. You probably cannot kill a super with just a shotgun blast in PvP, but you may be able to kill them with a shotgun blast and a melee. So maybe with the 7th Seraph CQC 12 with Vorpal weapon, you can kill a super with a shotgun blast. That may be the one area where I would look into it, and I don't know because I don't have one with Vorpal weapon. It may be worth checking that out. Because I think lightweights do 18.5 damage, and Vorpal weapon is what, a 50% damage buff against them? So they would do 27.5, I suppose. Well, let's see how much that is. 27.5 times 12. 330. You still might not be able to. A 60% damage reduction is just a freaking lot, man.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's huge. I still don't think you'd be able to. Yeah. Well, you know, never know. Maybe something worth testing. Maybe something worth testing to see how much damage it does do. Maybe I'm off on the damage. You can kill Golden Gun.
Yeah, well, you know.
But everything can kill Golden Gun, so.
Once I popped my golden gun, and then there was a gust of wind, and I died. So let's not get
pushed
too excited.
Slowly off the map. At least you didn't floof to your death like a warlock would. That's you just true. Fell, plummeted straight down. Yeah.
No, I probably fell, and then I like jumped, and like that was the one time I didn't grapple the ledge. Yeah. Anyway, I think that's about it. I wanted to point out a couple of highlights from the season pass. This go around, the finisher and the emote are phenomenal. The finisher is the Valkyrian Impaler. If you don't, like, if you somehow have missed this yet, like if you have like not logged in, not played, haven't equipped this, it's so good. I'm strongly considering just like turning off the other emotes and only using this one for a while.
It is a pretty good one. I use that and the Saint 14 headbutt are my two favorites.
I still do both of those, and then I do the I've got the like the flying roundhouse kick or whatever it is going.
Oh, that's a good one too.
Yeah, I like all those, but I honestly like just impaling them with the Valkyrie is so satisfying that I might just take a break from the other ones for a month or so and see how I feel after that. But then, looking back up to rank 99 on the season pass, the emote, None Shall Pass, is essentially, if you're a Lord of the Rings fan, Gandalf standing in front of the Balrog, slamming his staff down, but you're doing it with the Valkyrie, which is pretty awesome. And then the flavor text is, "Fly, you fools." So they're leaning into that pretty hard, but I thought it was really interesting that the title is None Shall Pass, which I first read as a reference to Monty Python's The Holy Grail, which is an entirely different sort of fantasy movie.
I mean, it probably is a reference to that, and they're just mixing the two together.
I feel like they are, because the image that you see kind of looks a little bit like the Black Knight standing in front of the bridge with his sword held down. But
are you sure it's not that? I mean, but he, are you sure he could, it's Gandalf?
I'm pretty sure. Well, I'm sure because "Fly, you fools" is Lord of the Rings. Just full stop. And the motion that you do with it is you kind of raise it up and then slam it down, which the Black Knight does not do.
No, he's just standing there.
He's just standing there. So it's very much like a kind of, you know, kind of a callback to some of the great movie moments, but two very, very different great movie moments. So I just thought that was interesting, but it's super cool. And if you can just think about doing that after you've killed somebody out of their super, I mean, it's kind of the new gravestone emote, I think.
Which is my favorite emote, and I use it literally all the
time.
Yeah,
same.
I wish it didn't say "pays their respects," because I want it to be disrespectful. I'm not trying to respect them. And I wish it said something like, you know, "pisses on your grave." Maybe not that. That's a bit harsh, but.
Well, I just got one that actually has become my new. That was my favorite, but now I've got the one where you pull out your cell phone and you kind of turn off to the side and you just play it on your phone.
Is it the one where you hold your finger up?
It's not that one, but this one says that you're too busy. Like, if you do it by yourself, it just says you're busy. But if you do it at someone, it says you're too busy for that person. and it just makes me so happy.
Too busy for their dead guest. Yeah, that's sitting there.
Exactly. It's so good.
All the bad manners.
So
all the bad manners.
Much better than Honor Neil. Anyway, that's it.
I use the Riker sit. So the Riker sit is like really one of my favorites. I use the tombstone throwing down. I use the Zeus-like physique, and then I use that cranking dance because the cranking dance flexes perfectly into the Zeus-like physique if you time it right. So you can like cranking dance your way up to Zeus-like physique, which I love doing.
Oh, geez. So. I've tended to a lot. Like I'll plant the tombstone, and then I'll go stand over by the flowers and I'll sweep the flowers.
I plant the tombstone and then Riker sit.
There you go.
That's what you gotta do. Plant the tombstone, Riker sit.
There you go.
Alright, that is it for this episode, guys. Thank you for joining us for episode 154 of the Massive Breakdown Podcast. Stay tuned for how we are dealing with life under social isolation and COVID-19. That'll be the In Real Life episode for this month. So thank you guys for tuning in, and we'll see you next week. Bye.
Peace.